Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. We're coming to you this week with a verse-by-verse study of Luke chapter 21. Because Jesus is coming, and Jesus himself gave us some signs that he is coming. Three gospel writers record what is known as the Olivet Discourse. He gave signs of his coming from that mount, and we have it in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. Now, last week we did Matthew 24. You can still get that on CD. But we're going to go back and read there again to open this discourse. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Jesus and the disciples are on the Temple Mount. They're at the temple. Now this is the second temple, which had been built originally during the time of Haggai and Zechariah. That had been some years before. It was never as beautiful as the first temple. And Herod, the genius builder, a very wicked man, but a genius king builder, had refurbished the temple in a 34-year building project. He put an artificial platform and put a wall around that platform. The western part of that platform wall is what we can still see today when we go over there. And he refurbished the temple, a beautiful building job. And the disciples of Jesus are remarking at the hugeness of those Herodian stones and how in the world did he get them there. When we take people to Israel and we go down that walk under the Temple Mount, when we go down to the western wall excavations down underground, and people see the length of those stones, they are amazed. Well, we even know of technology that those people in those days did not know, and those disciples were astonished. And he said, this was his answer to them. See ye not all these things? Verse 2. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That shocked them. He's prophesying the destruction of this newly refurbished temple. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Number one, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Two carefully posed questions, because now we're told they're on the Mount of Olives. Jesus and the disciples, the Bible says, often went to the Mount of Olives, probably the place of Gethsemane. And the disciples ask him two carefully posed questions. The first question, let's analyze it. Tell us, when shall these things be? He had just prophesied the destruction of the temple. When will the temple be destroyed? Number two, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? This word coming is the Greek word parousia, and it was always used to speak of the coming of a king or an emperor. What shall be the sign when you're going to come to set up your earthly kingdom at the end of the age? They had no idea, I don't think, that there would be 2,000 years between question one and question two. Number one, question one, tell us, when shall these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And question two, what will be the sign of your parousia and of the end of the age? Now, we are told in Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. It's very important to rightly divide what Jesus was saying that day on the mountain that three gospel writers record. If you don't rightly divide it, you can be very mixed up. It says here in Matthew 24, as we go throughout Matthew 24, which we're not going to do this week, we've already done that last week, he was talking mostly then about the tribulation time. And here we have, in Matthew, the Lord deals with the second question. where the disciples seem to identify the coming of the Lord with the end of the age. In Luke 21, we have the taking of Jerusalem by the Romans. There's a phone ringing in the background. We'll just pay no attention to it. Maybe you can't even hear it. In Matthew, I'm going to read that again, the Lord deals with the second question, where the disciples seem to identify the coming of the Lord with the end of the age. In Luke 21, we have the taking of Jerusalem by the Romans. So in Matthew 24, which we did last week, it's mainly parables talking about tribulation time. But here in Luke 21, he begins to deal with primarily the taking of the temple by the Romans. And it's so filled with biblical prophecy. We shall begin to read now in Luke 21. And they ask him, saying, Master, what shall be? When shall these things be? And so on. And he answered them, verse 8. And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Go ye not after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. I think right here he is talking about the last days. And we do see that great earthquakes have come, and there are much of this earth is in famine and pestilences, the AIDS virus, E. coli, bird flu, all kinds of things that we hear of that we really haven't heard of before. But before all these things, verse 12, before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you. Now, he's telling some signs of the last days, but then let's rightly divide it. He's going to go back now and talk to these disciples who are around him. He's going to go to heaven. He's going to go to the cross first and death, burial, resurrection, and then on to heaven. And he's going to leave it in the hands of these disciples. Before all these things, so he's preparing them, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, it happened to them, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Those Jews listening to him, they went under a terrible persecution time. They went to prison. They went before kings. Paul wasn't right there in the crowd, but he was just a few years later, and we have evidence that he stood before kings. Now, for his name's sake, for Jesus' name's sake, now also, and it shall turn to you for a testimony, verse 13. Verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. When Paul stood before those kings, it was the Lord that was giving him a mouth, and he was giving him words to say that can be used today. One could stand on this today, but it definitely happened for them then. We used to go into Soviet Russia. And in Soviet Russia, there was a wonderfully brave man. He was a little man named Pavo, but he was head of the underground press. He was even often translated. God would translate him from place to place. I said to him one day, what do you think of Luke 21? I was looking for him to give me some ideas of what he saw in the end times. Oh, he said, I love that chapter. And he quoted me this part where they take you to prisons and before kings for God's sake. He said, they often come and arrest me. And every time I trust the Lord to give me mouth and wisdom. And every time, he said, they question me, I am able to answer them back, and they are not able to gainsay me. That little guy was standing there, and the whole Russian KGB wasn't able to get the best of him. So this works. This verse works now, and it works then. But he was particularly speaking to those Jews who stood before him. Verse 16, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. It happened. Most all of the 12, all but one, died a martyr's death. Peter even died upside down. Crucified upside down. Only John did not die a martyr's death. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil. But love, John was the love disciple, could not be killed. And he didn't boil in oil. They put him over on they exiled him to an isle. But there the Lord ministered to him and ministered to you and me through the book of Revelation, gave him the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus going back, now we're going back to verse 17, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and there shall not an hair of your head perish." Well, folks, James is sitting there and he lost his head. What did Jesus mean by this? He meant that it's not an end to your lifetime. Just because James lost his head and John the Baptist lost his head, their head will be on their head when you know them throughout all eternity. They'll have that glorified. This isn't the end of things. Verse 19, "In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." He's speaking in the year 30 AD. 40 years later, the armies of Rome are going to come and encompass Jerusalem. And Jesus is giving them instructions as what to do. Now, we're rightly dividing this. Over in chapter 24 of Matthew, he was speaking of when the Antichrist would come and surround Jerusalem. Here, he's speaking of when the Romans will come and surround Jerusalem. And so we rightly divide the word. And we're going to, tomorrow, we're going to begin right here, and we're going to talk about Jesus' what great things he gave us in this. "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter in unto." Now, if you don't know, you'll get this mixed up, and you'll think Matthew 24 is talking about the very same time. But Matthew 24 is talking about when the Antichrist will come. Our Bibles won't translate with us. They won't go into the rapture. They'll be here, and people will pick them up and know what to do. But now he's giving instructions as to what to do in chapter 21 when the Romans come. He's telling them, get out of town. We might say, get out of Dodge. "Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries don't come in." If you're over on the land of Ephraim, if you're out someplace else, you don't come into Jerusalem during the time when the Romans are there. He's going to explain how hard it's going to be when they come. Folks, Jesus' prophecies came true then, and they will come true right on to the end. This will move down through what happened with the Romans and on down to your day and mine, so you won't want to miss tomorrow. We want you to have last week, Matthew 24 on CD for $5. This week, Luke 21 on CD for $5. We want you to have The Mountains of Israel by Norma Archbold. That's a book that tells you what God thinks about the West Bank. So you can get any of these by calling us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or go online to billybram.org. Or write us by snail mail, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Include an offer. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.